Hello, Wisdom and Wellness family. Welcome to a new episode. We are in the month of August, which is Women's Month. And if you don't know, now you know, we have a financial pillar as part of our Wisdom and Wellness thingamajig, if I can call it that. But did you know that the wealth gap between men and women is narrowing? However, many women still don't feel equipped to make decisions that ensure financial growth and retirement. So the JSC supports economic growth by encouraging South Africans to invest, aligning with the National Development Plan. And through JSE She Invests, it aims to increase individual investment, economic inclusion, and prosperity. So buckle up. We are about to unpack financial literacy. We are about to upskill and learn everything about investing and also some mistakes that we make. And I'm joined by two gorgeous ladies who we've been yapping away. Now you guys are just sitting there like you haven't been talking my head off. I'm joined by Dr. Katlego Lekala-Kala, better known as Dr. K. She's a medical doctor, founder of Clueless Moms, and best known for her candid discussions about motherhood, financial experiences, and commitment to women's well-being. Welcome, Dr. K.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here. We also have Nongqali Khuposhe, who heads retail at the JSE, where she focuses on designing strategies to change people's relationships with money. Welcome, Noni.
Thank you for having me.
You ladies look so gorgeous.
Thank you.
Thanks. You too. No, you really look good.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to start with icebreakers.
Okay.
You're both going to answer the same ones, okay?
Okay.
What song did you listen to on your way here? I'll start with you.
I didn't listen to a song. I listened to an audiobook.
By who?
I actually can't say her name.
Why? Controversial.
No. Oh. I can't say her name.
Oh.
Yeah. Just, yeah, okay. I can't say her name. No. I literally can't pronounce it.
Okay. What is it about?
I'm still getting into it. I'm not enjoying it, to be quite honest with you. I haven't figured out the plot.
Yeah.
I read her previous book. What was it called? When I See You or When They See You or something like
okay.
that.
Okay. Oh, okay, okay.
Yes. You see where
it's
I'm
about,
at?
It's about, yeah. I have an idea. Yes. It turned into a movie,
so
right?
So I'm confused. I don't know.
Okay, that's fine. She's listening to an audiobook.
Yeah.
Noni, what are you listening to? What did you listen to?
Kwaito really brings me joy.
Kwaito.
It does. So Du is actually one of my favorite Kwaito artists. And so the song is called Ratlala.
Ratlala.
Yeah.
Okay. Ratlala.
Yes. What does Ratlala mean?
Like Ratlala.
Like we play.
Like we fool.
Yeah.
Ratlala like Ratletse.
Yes.
What does that mean?
We're here, like we're a lot.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Does she give you quite the vibes?
No.
At all. You don't give me quite the...
I love 90s quite.
You give me like a lady who goes to watch the opera and the ballet kind of vibes.
I do.
Okay.
But sometimes a little quite. Never heard anyone.
Gotcha. Okay. Who's a famous woman that you think you would absolutely make best friends with?
Gabrielle Union, tomorrow.
Agreed.
Tomorrow.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that Gabrielle Union example because I feel like she's so transparent.
Yeah, authentic.
Yes. And the courage to show up as herself is amazing. I would love to actually be besties with Oprah.
Oprah.
Because
really?
Yes.
Do you think you'd click immediately? Mm.
I think I would. I think I'm in awe of her generosity and her ability to do things and pioneer and take the courage and the chance on herself every time.
Gotcha.
You know, the best talk show, you know, the pioneering her own network.
Yeah. Best podcast.
You know, she built a school and she's changed a generation of women.
Yeah.
You know, to just carve her own path when... You know, she grew up in an environment that made it seem impossible.
Impossible, yeah. Mm.
I have so much respect for that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Gabriella, I actually agree with Gabby as well.
Yeah.
I like her vulnerability.
I love Oprah. I don't know about being besties with her. Maybe over time. But
I think she'd be like my aunt. Like my wise aunt. Yeah.
I think I love the wisdom of elders. I can sit with grandmothers the whole day.
Okay.
At their stock film. I'll just be in the middle just soaking up the knowledge.
Got you.
True, yeah.
So. I think with me recently, because of the series I've been watching, I think I'd be besties with Reese Witherspoon.
Really?
She is interesting. She's very interesting.
She's
funny. She's cool.
Yeah.
No, I love her.
But
yeah,
also very smart.
She's very smart.
Very, very smart. Very and smart. She's really... Like, there's people who say we're about women, and then there's people like Reese Witherspoon who has created so much... opportunity. I mean, most of Apple shows have women, female leads, and it's produced, it's from her company. Hello Sunshine, by the way. Yeah, so she's doing incredible.
She is.
Okay, the last one. The first big purchase you ever made.
You have to start. I have to think about it.
It was a car.
Okay.
So when I bought my first car many, many days and nights ago, I felt so proud because it was an outward manifestation of my discipline. That I had set money aside, that I had chosen within my budget, that I had looked at the contract and the terms,
that I had
researched. Yes.
On your first car? Well, that.
I did.
I was just happy to get a finance and I was like, I'm signing away.
Yeah. Hey, like, honestly. I can't think. Can it be shared? Can it be a shared purchase?
Yeah.
So that it has to be my house.
Your house?
Yeah, it has to be my house. Wasn't well researched, actually. And that's why I actually trended on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll go into that later. Yeah. But yeah, very exciting. I mean, I can remember even the first day we moved in, just smelling that paint. Yeah. I was a little bit obsessed with it. And then I had my child like just running around and it was just really awesome. Yeah. So yeah, a very proud moment for me. Very proud moment. Yeah.
Love that. I'm so glad to hear there's someone who actually reads their contract, because we should really do that. But I think for a lot of us, when we make our first big purchases, when it comes to cars and houses, you're just happy to be accepted. You're just happy that someone is going to give you the money to do it. And we don't negotiate our interest rates. We don't look at anything. We just sign away. So I'm glad there's someone in the room who actually checks. But Noni, what inspired you to have a career in finance, and specifically currently you're at the JSE?
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
It comes from how money is central to every single thing that we do.
Yeah.
You can be as deep in Maya Angelou as you want. Yeah. Money, you still need money to eat and to live and to do all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And so I've understood that from a very young age, that money is central to all of us. And so when we unlock money in various aspects, then we can really change our lives and other people's lives. We can give money in terms of loans for businesses to create employment. We can give money for people to get housing. We can have money for people to have grants because they can't sustain themselves. Money is central, regardless of how shallow or superficial that may seem. And so my entire career has always about unlocking the value of money in different aspects. So how do I make a bank? When I first started in management consulting, specializing in banking, my why and the problem that I sought to solve is to say, how do we actually create better financial institutions so that they can give the funding that is needed to unlock wealth creation at an institutional level as well as at a personal level? How do I actually unlock investing for people so that when they learn the power of investing, they can actually create their own journeys to financial wealth? So my relationship with money has always been one of awe at our relationships with money, our psychology and money, the power of money, how we interact with money. And I really, really enjoy that. I love answering that why.
I literally come alive.
I think for me, I struggle to just work because it's job be job.
Yeah.
I have to be able to answer a why. What problem am I addressing? Because I spend more time in my day doing that thing more than anything else.
100%.
More than sleep, more than family, more than God even.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't pray for 18 hours a day.
Yeah.
Right? So I have to be able to work and to feel like it's leading to something better and higher. Very purposeful.
Have you always been good with money?
I think I have. I think I've had moments when if I felt rushed or I felt as though, you know, I had gotten sound counsel, then I would overlook certain things. Mm-hmm. So if I actually didn't analyze and scrutinize things myself, sometimes I would regret that.
Yeah.
Mm. So I'm very good with money. Mm-hmm. And then the thing that I'm not good with is if I feel as if I've trusted someone so much with something, and then actually when I go back, I shouldn't have trusted.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Before I move on to you, Dr. K, you know, when we all go to varsity, we do the whole thing of opening an account at Mr. Price so that we can get our credit and yada yada. I didn't do it though, because I'm always been kind of anti-debt, but I know a lot of people do it. Did you do it?
No, I didn't do it.
Okay.
I I, you know what? I'm such a happy person. When I open the door, I open it so happily.
Yeah.
Come in. Do you want biscuits? I don't have biscuits. Do you want water? I don't want to ever be scared to open the door because I owe someone something.
Oh, interesting.
So I have such a peace of mind.
I get you.
Around when I open the door.
Okay.
So my open the door analogy is important. So because of that, I don't really have that.
You didn't open that
account.
Dr. K, did you open that account?
No, I didn't. Yeah, so I'm also not anti-debt because I mean I have debt.
Yeah.
I only opened an account like to do something, but it's never been something that, you know, I'm afraid of or I'm struggling with until recently, actually. I did decide to get a credit card and I just kind of got a little too comfortable with it. Yeah, but it's fine. Luckily, it's manageable for me, you know. But I'm very afraid of debt because of my own personal experiences with it.
Yeah.
You know, we struggled a lot growing up with my mom having, you know, a lot of debt.
Yeah.
And I love how you speak about the psychology of money, right? So if you've ever experienced something like that, that financial insecurity and that just that instability, it kind of makes you afraid when you're using money.
100%.
But the funniest thing, right? I thought I would be a little bit more careful, but I'm not as careful as I thought I would be.
In a good way or in a bad way?
In a bad way.
Okay. That you're a bit not as responsible as you thought you would be.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
I mean, I think with money, we also, I think there's being... I'm not giving advice. I'm just, we sharing, right?
No, please.
There's, I believe money is spiritual.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's psychology, right? And if you move with the fear of, I don't want to repeat the mistakes my mother made.
Yeah.
Most times you're not operating from an abundance mindset, but it's from a lack mindset that because they did that, and they got into, we got into a situation, I must make sure. So now you're not operating from abundance of I want to grow, I want to enjoy money. Money is good for me. It's from a lack perspective. So maybe that's kind of why it's like, yeah, I want to stop this. I don't want to repeat the same mistakes. But it doesn't necessarily come from a good place. It comes from a, I just don't want to go back to where we used to be.
Yeah, true. But more for me, it's like more control.
Okay.
Where sometimes I want to have a little bit more control on my expenditures and so forth and not allowing, you know, have you heard about the hedonic treadmill or the hedonic adaptation? So it just talks about how every human being has a baseline of a level of happiness. Okay. It's set for all of us. Okay. That's just that's the thought process behind it. And no matter what, we'll always come back to that baseline, right?
Yes.
So my issue, and this is where the psychology then comes in, I try to improve my baseline with experiences and with things. And that's where then my financial muscle that I sometimes feel like I don't have a lot of control over.
Yeah.
Right? And because I'm on this hedonic treadmill.
Yeah.
And I will always go back to...
The base,
right? No matter what. And sometimes it can feel like quite a big drop. So I'm like one of those people, I always have post-shopping depression.
Do you want to add on to that?
Yeah. So there's this book I really love by Mai Palomaku where she, it's called You're Not Broke, You're Pre-Rich,
right?
And she talks about different money personalities. And I think one of the things people don't realize is that for many generations, we didn't actually learn about personal finance at all. We didn't learn it in our households because there was no financial inclusion. So our parents weren't necessarily equipped to know better because they weren't included in the financial systems.
Sure.
Then we also didn't learn it in the financial literacy and education in schools.
Yeah.
And what you have is the trauma response that you're exposed to, plus exactly things that you may read, things you may see now on social media that all couple up and create the person that you are.
Yeah.
And so you have certain people where, you know, may the best debit order win on the first. You know, good luck with
someone
that.
Upon
me. Yes. And then there's certain people where as long as my man's got it in control, I don't need to think of it. And then there's other people who are risk averse where they will have bundles in saving, but they don't want to invest. And we're like, you're almost there. Just take the chance.
You're moving.
energy, you know? Yeah. And so she speaks so lovingly about, you know, how different people are influenced by different things. And then what you have is that as we elevate in our careers, mm-hmm. we don't necessarily always reflect or take accountability for owning our personal finance journeys.
Mm.
And so you can have people who never had financial literacy education their whole lives making seven figures.
Yeah.
Right? So we like to assume because we're educated in school in other things, that must equate to being financially literate. And it's true.
It's not the truth. Yeah.
It's not true at all.
Yeah.
You could have someone who's able to really multiply and is abundant and they're actually not educated at all.
Yeah.
And you have someone who, you know, is earning in a high net worth category who struggles. But they
can't
struggles.
Keep up. Yeah, they can't keep up. I want you to talk, to press on a little bit about the saver. Because I think it's got a lot to do with control. And I can identify myself there. For a long time, I would just save and save and save. So I've got a whole bulk of saving. And I think this comes from my childhood where my parents didn't have, then they had a lot.
Yes.
And then they didn't have.
Yes.
And then it's like almost climbing back to try to have again. And I think there is a bit of a trauma in that where I don't want to, I'd rather just stay here than go there and then have to come back again.
Yes.
Right? And so does that connect in somehow to why I'd rather save and reluctant to invest?
Absolutely. It could definitely be a potential reason. You may have a fear of saying, look, I don't ever want to go back there again. It was cold. I can see the money. The money is there.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's actually good to save.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to save. And that's something that our population unfortunately has a saving deficit.
Yeah.
But we historically saved via stock files. So it's not a new concept to us, right? But in terms of investing in the stock market, buying, you know, a portion of a share, you know, buying new things that are in the stock market, it's something that someone may be averse to because there's no guarantee, because you don't have control over
it. And you
don't know. And financial literacy in education is a huge, huge gap that exists. We often don't talk openly about money because of financial shame, which is why I admire your courage so much, because when we talk about these things, then we're able to actually unpack how we can be better about these things, what knowledge is available out there. And then we operate from a spirit of discernment to say, okay, what do I take from this? And what do I think is appropriate for me and my lifestyle?
I love that.
Yeah.
Dr. K, you trended on TikTok. and I think it's your, I probably think you trended because so many people could relate.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Definitely,
so many people could relate, and you're the one person who found the courage to say it out loud and say, actually, I think I didn't really think this through.
Yeah.
And and I admire your courage because we were celebrating you 1 minute, and next minute you're just like, actually, this thing that we're celebrating, not so cute. So can you tell us, for the people who don't know, a little bit about your purchasing decision and how you found yourself saying, actually, I didn't think this through?
Yeah, it was a fully emotive buy. I wanted to achieve something. It had nothing to do with investment at all. It had everything to do with the fact that I wanted to check a box. I had a certain idea of where I'm moving. I have the career, not even really, to be quite honest.
I have the degree.
Let's put it that way. I have the degree. I have my child. I have my partner. We're growing very well together. This feels like the most natural step. And, you know, the other thing is that you will find that your parents also kind of push you towards that. And then it felt like almost like a roadmap to being successful,
This is success.
Yeah, this is success.
Yeah.
This is what I should do. This is the natural step. So anyway, so with that, I had never purchased anything prior to that.
Sure. Not even a car.
No.
Yeah.
The car came after.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd never purchased anything. I'd never sat down with a contract, whatever. So just like how we had a conversation just before, that sometimes you just get excited that, oh, I got admitted. Like, it's fine. Like, you know? And that was a big thing for me. It was like, oh, yeah. They're saying that I can loan this amount of money. Now, the terms, honey. The terms.
That's what you didn't read.
The terms showed me flames. Because and this is not to be disrespectful towards myself, but I really looked at it like, in a very juvenile way. Mm. I really thought that, okay, the figure that I see in front of me is the bond repayment that is going to stay for quite a long time. Mm. I never imagined that there would be a possibility of increased rates, I mean, interest rates, right? How that would affect me. And if I couldn't find employment, what that would look like. So right now I'm in a little bit of a situation where I'm literally working towards making sure that my bond is paid all the time.
Sure.
You know, and those interest rates showed me flames.
Did you buy during COVID times?
So just after.
Yeah.
Right. So before COVID, we were renting out. And this is the part that really trended. It's because I shared the figures, right? So I spent a certain amount for rent. It was very comfortable for us. We thought that the, you know, the increase for our house was manageable.
Yeah.
It doubled.
Yeah. Because there's other things.
It doubled. And then there's everything outside of it. Levies, municipality, you know.
Everything's on you.
All of this. And I just honestly, I did not take into consideration all those things. What I was looking at is just to have a checked box, and that was it.
Did you get fulfillment from checking your box?
Now I do. And that's because we can afford it.
Okay. Now.
We could always afford it, but it was a pinch.
Okay.
It meant now that I can't do as much as I used to. And I would have loved to have still had the lifestyle that I had prior.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So just like you, right? Or maybe what you were saying about, you know, the lack in abundance, right? Yeah. One thing I'll never, ever make a mistake on is not paying my debts. I will never. I would rather starve than not pay off my debts. The first thing that I pay, because I also don't want to have a bad open door situation, right? But seeing that now it's becoming a little bit tight was why I actually started to share.
Gotcha. Noni, how often do you find, and we're going to make it specific to women, how often do you find that we women find themselves in a pinch or in a shock because of, I have to check a, I have to tick a box, I have to show ekaya or these people, I have to take care of everyone. How often do you find that we find ourselves in situations?
Oh, so often. So I think women are nurturers, women are incredibly responsible. Women take on a lot of load. And a lot of that, the load that women take on, especially within budgets, are often very difficult to sustainably quantify because groceries isn't the same every month. Your bundle of joy needs new clothing because they've outgrown it. You know, there's an emergency that needs to be taken care of as opposed to the more static, consistent ones such as a mortgage or a car payment, etc. And so you find women often can take on things that are beyond their means. It's not something people do intentionally or, you know, something that people just are malicious in the way in which they take it. Sometimes people are unaware. Sometimes, you know, things happen and people don't necessarily feel like they have opportunities to find a way around. And what we also have as well is we have a really strong inability to say, I can't.
No,
I can't afford it. I can only afford this much. I can't afford that much. So we really, really struggle with that.
Sure. That's shame.
Dr. K, when you shared your journey on TikTok and on social media, what was the trend in responses? What did you pick up about what is happening in our finances with society?
Poor understanding.
Okay.
Yeah. So I also saw, you know, I saw that a lot of people of color were coming forward. People that I could see myself in, you know, no matter the career paths that they've chosen for themselves. And what I could see is that we're very emotive. So exactly what I said in the beginning, I could see that we had similarities in our buying behavior and our investing culture and behavior, right? And that's why I try to even follow up on that video, just to speak a little bit more about, you know, being aware of yourself.
Yeah.
Be aware of what governs your decisions.
Mm. Mm.
Mm. Don't carry the traumas of your parents, you know, and also don't try to alleviate their traumas by you, you know, shining, being the shining bright light.
I think that's where a lot of people get caught up. Yes. Yeah,
Because, I mean, we've seen it so many times, Mpumi. How many times have you heard of somebody who's really, really drowning under a lot of debt?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you're just wondering, why don't you just downscale? Because honestly, you know, my friend's, my late friend's father once said this to her, and I always keep this with me. He said that at the end of the day, you're the only person that will ever sleep with your demons or the decision that you've made. Yeah. Nobody can help you. Not even the wife that sleeps beside you or your partner, whatever.
It's just you.
Nobody can help you with that. And I think we need to also get into that mindset of understanding that our decisions, especially financially, yes, they could be celebrated by other people. But if it's tight for you, you're the only person that will have to deal with that.
Yeah, it's you.
And downscaling is not something that you should be ashamed of, or speaking out and getting that counsel, getting that help, you know, and having a platform like this. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
What you said just reminds me of a saying where it says, you are not your parents' retirement fund and your parents are not your emergency fund. So take care of yourself.
You are not their retirement fund.
Yes.
And they're not your emergency fund.
Yeah.
That is on boundaries.
Yes.
That is on boundaries.
Yes.
I want you to unpack a little bit on what the psychology of money is. And I think we've been talking about the psychology, Yes. But for someone who doesn't understand, what are you talking about? It's just money. I just need 100 rand, or I just need 10,000 rand to change my life.
Absolutely.
And I'll make an example with the whole lotto situation where people win 2-3 million rand and then within a year or two, I blew it.
Yes,
exactly.
The whole show.
Which goes back to the psychology of money. So can you ABC it for us?
Okay. So when it comes to the psychology of money, is what is your relationship with money? Mm-hmm. How do you behave when money is involved? Because a budget is you giving your money an instruction on what to do and where to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, money, I have this amount for eating, I have this amount for electricity, I have this amount for school fees, and I need to follow that discipline.
Yeah.
Now, people often don't necessarily budget very well or tell their money where to go.
We're scared.
And then they also have behavioral, I hate to use the word challenges, but behavioral outcomes that can influence how they actually behave with money. So for example, there's a particular store where I love their dresses. Yeah. When I walk in, I feel like Cinderella. It's a girl. I know better than to walk into that store.
Yes.
I actually just walk past. I can't.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. But that is me recognizing and having the self-awareness to know that this is my weakness, the store.
Yeah.
And so psychology of money is to look at myself with awareness, accountability, and self-care and say, how do I behave when money is involved? What are my strengths and weaknesses? And how can I actually take those and become better when it comes to how I engage with money?
Thank you.
Can I add to that?
Yeah.
I think another thing is, how do you also view money?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I love how you described it. I love the analogy that you used, like basically almost like you parenting this thing, you know, you're telling it where to go and how to behave for you. Almost like a tool, right?
Yeah.
But if certain people find money as a gateway, I think a gateway for whatever, right? Mm. That can also be an issue.
Yeah.
So if you are looking at money to be your gateway to have a better social standing, power, to, you know, impress your parents or whatever, you know, or to get you tokens of freedom.
Mm.
And then that's when you'll then see that people's behaviors really differ. Mm. But I love how you put it.
I love it too. Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, I love how you put it.
Dr. K, after taking into account the start of your career, ticking the boxes, the purchases, what do you think is your relationship with money currently?
Mpumi, why are you putting me on the spot?
I'm sorry. Girl. I just have to know.
Why are you putting me on the spot?
And you don't have to have a clear answer, but
yeah.
Since you're being vulnerable and all.
Yeah. So right now I'm in an awkward situation with money. We're in therapy with each other.
Okay.
Yeah, we're in therapy. That. We're just trying to find each other out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling me, Kaz, slow down. Mm. Utilize me in a way to build your life up. Sure. Don't be afraid that I'll break you down. Mm-hmm. So I'm in therapy.
Okay. With you're money. In therapy with you healing.
I'm healing.
Healing.
Okay. I'm healing.
Okay.
So I'm still in the journey of self-awareness. But even with, you know, self-awareness, I love how you said it. You need to start taking accountability. So it's great. It's all good and well to, you know, therapize yourself and to intellectualize your problems. Mm. But then when do you start addressing them? Mm. And
doing something about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm in that.
It's top there, you know?
I'm there.
Ronnie, what's your relationship with money currently?
It's so fascinating because I'm almost 40. So I think between the ages of 35 to 45, it's a period of like deep reflection and like reckless abandonment where really looking at the consequences. You're really looking at the consequences of your actions to say, okay, someone who started correctly in their 20s, they have a lot of financial freedom. And then there's other things where you've made a lot of mistakes along the way and now you're feeling it. So it's really a season of consequences of your actions. It's a period of deep reflection. And so my relationship with money is one where I'm thinking, okay, if I think I'm going to retire at 60, there's things I need, if I haven't started yet looking at that, because the statistics say only 6% of the South African
that
population is retirement ready.
That shocked me.
It says, if I haven't been putting enough money for a preservation fund or a pension fund, if I haven't invested in, you know, shares, if I haven't done certain things, I need to do it now.
Yeah.
There is no... I can't go back and undo whatever I haven't done.
But
now it's today
that
I need to actually look at it.
Sure.
So my relationship with money is to say, you and I are in this together forever.
Yeah.
And you and I are going to be besties.
Yeah.
And there's things I'm really proud of and I can say, And then there's other things where I just want to hide.
Yeah.
And then I want to say, okay, let's fix this.
Sure.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think to share, my current relationship with money is I've had to remove money as a trophy. So I pride myself in being really good with money. I think I get it from my grandmother. My grandmother's really good with money.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that about her.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be like, because she's the person my grandmother's been going on holiday since I don't know when. She dresses well. She renovates her house. She's got an emergency fund, and I wanted to be that, and I think I did. And then I dropped out of varsity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because I was a dropout, I almost had to prove that my dropping out didn't mean that my life is over.
Mm.
So I spent my entire 20s
proving.
Mm.
Which, it works, but it doesn't work.
Yes.
It works in the sense of you get the material accolades, you get the material success, and money becomes a trophy.
Yes.
But then it's like, where's your self-worth?
Yes.
So...
I really love that.
Okay, guys, not about me now. Let's move on. Nani, what is your role as head of retail at JSE? And what are your goals specifically for 2024 and 2025?
Sure. So our objective is to change people's behavior with money, specifically in retail. So for those people who aren't in banking sector and they don't know what the word retail versus institutions mean. Retail investors are people, are you and me as individuals. So it's important for us to change our behavior with money. And the reason why we say it that way is because we know that on the journey to investing, there's also saving, there's also emergency funds, there's also other financial literacy topics, people are in debt. And so we don't want to be so tone deaf to not acknowledge that sometimes people are going through a hard time and you can't just speak about investing. You acknowledge the other components of people's financial profiles. And so in terms of our ability to change people's behavior with money, the first important mandate that I have is through financial education.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have to become aware of different financial concepts. You know, what is a share? I need to explain that if you're it's a share, it's like a slice of pizza.
Yeah.
You know, or you're an owner of a portion of a business.
A company,
right? And people aren't stupid, they just don't know.
Yeah, which
this.
Yeah, we're not.
You know?
It's not terms we come across every single day.
Yes, it's not terms you come across every day. And then I need to explain if people think, oh, there's too much mess to this, and say, don't worry, there's this other product where they have different things already put into a bundle for you. and it's called an exchange traded fund. So I have to explain and have financial education and make sure it's
that's
accessible.
An ETF.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, I didn't even know that's the yes. The full word.
But if I say ETF, you don't know what that is. Yeah. You might think, is that ETF? Is that a political party?
Yeah.
What's ETF? You know?
Yeah.
So I literally want to explain things like I would at a restaurant over a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Because if you see the JSC, then you think those people there.
Those
and
people.
Then you don't want to talk to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You see the lady who watches Ballerina and doesn't listen to Mdu, right?
Yeah.
So financial education is really, really important for us.
Yeah.
And is a huge priority.
Okay.
For us for this year.
Dr. K, why did you start Clueless Moms? Why specifically the word clueless?
Okay. So it was in conversation. I started it just before giving birth, actually. Yeah. So it was after I really announced that I was pregnant because I had taken a social media hiatus after trending for the wrong thing.
Okay.
And then I came back and I was pregnant. And
you came back with an announcement.
Yes. But during that time, I actually had isolated myself for a reason. So it was a deliberate effort on my end because I thought that I needed to protect my pregnancy.
Mm.
I had a lot of pregnancy complications, a lot of confusion, but it was too isolating. It was too isolating. Mm. I felt exhausted, right? So once my child was very viable and we knew for certain that we are going towards, or not for certain, but we were very hopeful.
Confident
that our child will come out healthy and all of that.
Mm.
I decided to start sharing on Instagram. Mm. So when I was sharing, I would always say that I'm clueless about this, but I've clued myself up about this, and then created a community where people were like, I'm confidently saying that I'm clueless, but I'm willing to learn.
Sure.
So Clueless Moms, the biggest thing that I really want to achieve with it is to support, especially women of color in their mental health during motherhood and parenting.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think that that's a place that is quite neglected, but takes a big role in your own life and your child's life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you really care about that child, you know, you also need to care for yourself.
Yeah.
So it's a space where they feel safe. It's a community where we are all vulnerable.
Mm.
Vulnerability, like, literally follows me in everything that I do.
Yeah.
I believe that at the end of the day, our humanity is the most important thing. Mm. And we need to have spaces where we feel safe.
Feel safe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's why I called it Clueless. Mm. And I clue them up with, obviously, my medical knowledge.
Yeah.
Mm. I'll curate experiences for them where they have an opportunity to access knowledge like that. Mm. You know, what I found is that women of color don't really think that they, maybe not that they think that, but they're not aware that they should be accessing certain things,
yes,
you know, to make their parenting easier.
Yeah.
So I can go on forever about Clueless Moms.
Do you guys have conversations on finances and what is the general consensus on that? Like, what do you find is a thing when it comes to finances?
Actually, we've never had a conversation on that, to be quite honest with you. I was meant to do a conversation on finances because it is a big part of your parenting, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I do have the odd DMs about, like, how do I get a good medical scheme, you know, which is a big thing, right?
Massive, yeah.
Very massive. And then you'll see that certain people are not aware that you actually should have been on the scheme, like, for quite some time. So it's a little late
now,
you know, and having to share those news with them is always, like, quite sad for me. But women are looking at accessing information in all kinds of ways, and I think finances is a big part,
because
most of the time they are the heads of the households, right? So they do need that kind of information.
So 42%, this is from Statistics South Africa, 42% of the households are women-headed households.
Mm, sure.
So when we don't have curated conversations specifically tailored towards the needs of women, we end up disadvantaging women as well as the next generation that's under their care.
Yeah. I mean, with my first pregnancy, we didn't have medical aid.
Yeah.
We were just newly... Yeah.
Show me how.
I was newly married. I didn't have money. I'm an entrepreneur. I don't have a salary. I am the salary, and we didn't have medical aid. But because I'm a saver, I had savings, and I could pay for the private care with my emergency savings. But it would have been smarter to have medical aid. But I did get it. But then upon getting it, I realized that, oh no, it's too late, you know. But at least my child would have been covered. But Noni, I want to ask you what are you doing strategically to make sure that women start investing, and also inclusively? Because it's one thing to talk to someone who has an extra 500 rand and say, hey, please invest. And it's like, oh, okay. But to talk to someone who is just crawling to the end of the month, how do they get out of a financial rut and start looking at retirement? Because people aren't looking at retirement because I'm just trying to get bread.
Yes, they're absolutely just trying to get bread, and we're quite cognizant of that. I think one of the misnomers is that you actually need to have a lot of money to invest.
Yes.
You don't need to have a lot of money to invest. You can have as much as 10 rand and actually invest.
Sure, yeah.
So give up a packet of chips and you know, you could be to own a portion of a company.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we're doing, especially where a woman is involved, we have our flagship offering, which is She Invests, which is a conference that we have that's specifically tailored towards women, where each year we have different themes, we have different guests, we speak about different topics in a way that's really enjoyable, engaging, and executionable as well. You go home and you're like, actually, I can do this.
Yeah.
And you have really interesting topics. So for example, last year, if you see something called estate planning, you might think, oh, but then you have topics like, should I tell my husband what's in my will? So it's women actually having conversations that'll give them the necessary education and empowerment to actually invest.
Yeah.
Because our data actually shows that women actually are better investors.
I believe that.
But they lack confidence.
Yes.
There's imposter syndrome.
Yes.
We get analysis paralysis. Mm. And so we then lack the confidence to actually start the journey and progress the journey. And then also a lot of times, based on our relationships with our partners, we delegate and outsource that. Mm. So we can take care of the groceries and they must take care of the investments. It's actually, I'm an individual and I have my own financial journey and I have my own financial goals. Mm. And these are tools that I could use to have my financial goals, even in a partnership.
Have your own financial goals, even in a partnership.
Yes.
So this year's event is happening 17th of August.
Absolutely.
Do you guys have a theme? That's actually where I first encountered Mabalo, who's been on the podcast like twice.
Yes.
And I sat there listening to this girl talk about this lady talk about her dad and her relationship with money. And I remember getting so excited to get her book. And the way she broke things down for me, it was like, I can definitely take control of my own finances. So with this year, do you guys have a specific theme?
Yes.
What topics are you looking to cover?
So it's investing for your legacy. Okay. So we're talking about, you know, how do you actually use investing to help you enable your goals, your future, and even afterwards, right, for your descendants. So how do we actually use that? How do I begin? You know, this information is so overwhelming. Where do I start? And then we also have different people that we've invited who also share on topics that aren't just about investing. Mm-hmm. So you know, they speak about their businesses and their entrepreneurial journeys and how what they've learned along the way.
Yeah.
Because we're not just monolithic and just care about investing. We care about emergency funds.
Your everyday living.
Financial planning, everyday living, right? And so it's important for us to have those conversations holistically so that we can actually have conversations that cover all of those bases for us. Yeah.
Love that.
Dr. K, you've always had a side hustle, if I can call it that, right? I think when you were still studying, you were doing makeup and then you got into the medical field, but you had Clueless Moms, which kind of is a side hustle in a way, no?
More the influencing, more the
There we go. Thanks for correcting me. Is that intentional? Is it about your finances or is it about putting yourself there or finding what other interests you have? What is the goal behind having side hustles for you?
Both.
Okay.
So I am a person who's quite creative and I'd like to have that outlet. I feel like it makes me more productive in my 9 to 5 because then I don't feel lost in it. You know, it can be quite cumbersome. It can be quite emotional. It can be quite dark at times.
Training, yeah.
So that's my light. I've always been a creative person. So that's why I had to, these are my outlets, right? Mm. Even with my podcast and everything, it's my outlet. Mm. But in terms of finances, yes, it plays a big part. I don't feel secure enough with just my salary.
Yeah.
And I don't think I will ever feel secure enough with just my salary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe it's the thing of, you know, I'm not investing and not finding ways to feel secure. So let's just say, for instance, I couldn't do the content creation anymore.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to have that feeling of instability and insecurity.
Gotcha.
But yeah, for me, it is a security thing as well.
Noni, going back to legacy, a lot of women have businesses, self-employed rather.
Mm.
And I don't know if we have security in retirement. What happens if I get sick?
Yes.
What do you think is our relationship there? What can we do better as female entrepreneurs to make sure that we can actually take a month off?
Yeah.
Take two days off and your business does not stop operating.
First is to have almost goal-based investing. So what is my goal? Is my goal maybe to have a sabbatical or to have a certain month that I take off?
Yes, please.
And also then to understand.
I believe it's sabbatical.
And then to also review and say, what is my number? What is my base number? And what I mean is, okay, this is the core of my expenses. If I pay a mortgage, if I pay medical aid, if I pay food, this is what I can survive on.
Yeah.
You know, bread and bread alone. And also then to say, okay, how, based on what I can set aside every month consistently, what are the tools that I could use in order to actually get there and how long is it going to take?
Mm.
And then I have to look internally and say, what is my risk appetite?
Mm.
And so when I look at risk appetite, it's going to determine the type of investments that I make. Because some investments can generate, you know, have a greater return, but they have greater risk.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then in that, we also have to operate with a spirit of discernment because there's a lot of people out there actually trying to scam people who are trying to take advantage of 100%. People.
Yeah.
And so we really have to make sure that we go to a registered broker. So you can't invest directly on the stock exchange.
Yes.
You have to go via a company and that company is called a broker.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are engaging with someone you're actually not sure, then you can, we actually have a tool on our website that we've created where you can verify if the person is a broker.
That's that's incredible.
Verify a broker.
Yeah.
So you go to www.jc.co.za, you go to For Me, you go to Verify a Broker, you type the name of the alleged broker and it'll pop up whether it does exist or not, as well as their registration.
Because I think a lot of people get scammed
in
going, like a way to get scammed is if you go to a broker or a financial manager and the first thing they say, oh no, you have to pay me. Like the trading stuff. Let's make an example with the trading stuff. Pay 100,000 rand upfront and then in 2 months time, you'll get
this. So there's lots of scams that are like that.
Yeah.
Some of them are also like, give me 500 rand today and I will give you 3,000 at the end of the week.
Yes,
know, or, you know, this is only valid until Friday. Or they will pretend to be a legitimate institution when they're not. They might change a word or they might change a letter.
Yes.
You know. And some of them will even create fake images and fake websites. So they're getting more and more sophisticated.
Yeah.
And we just created a tool that provides an additional sense of comfort before someone decides to proceed.
Yeah, because I think that can be very scary. And we're finding a lot of scamming, especially with old people.
Oh.
As soon as they are about to go into retirement, it's as if people are paying attention and there's a lot of scamming. Do you want to talk more about that?
So I think it speaks to, remember I said only 6% of the population is ready for retirement, right? So I think the one thing is anyone of any age is susceptible to a scam of any value, including people who work in banking. Some of them may be ashamed, but they've also been scammed because of things that are, you know, are easily, people are susceptible to. But because a lot of the population is not retirement ready, number one, a lot of people are actually still living with their parents until older age because of unemployment, because of financial things. And also a lot of times people haven't been keeping up to date when it comes to their pension funds. So you have a pension fund, you start working, and as you elevate, you don't increase your percentage, you don't review if it's enough because you've got bundles of joy now, you've got houses and cars. And so if you're going to sustain those, you actually need to contribute more.
Yeah,
but we don't do that. We don't review things annually as our lifestyle changes.
Sure.
And then as we get older, sometimes these things happen. We don't have enough for retirement.
Yeah.
We had a particular vision and we have a amount of money that maybe we would have been enough for us without the lifestyle changes.
Yeah.
And then we're at risk. And so it's a desperate feeling to feel as if it's all on you and you're 60, 65 and you really want that money to multiply so that you can be comfortable.
Vulnerable. Yeah, very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Dr. K, how are you ensuring that the lifestyle creep doesn't take its course with you, especially being in an industry like our industry, the influencer industry, where you kind of need to have the look, you need the aesthetic. Mm. How are you making sure that you're staying within your means? Because, I mean, one campaign can give you 0000, but you don't know when the next one is coming.
I don't care about that stuff anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, you spoke about it from 35, but I feel like once I entered this age, I started to, which is 30 for me, I started to make decisions about what I want. I mean, like right now, we spoke about it. I'm planning towards my wedding, right? So if I allowed that lifestyle creep to actually creep in, it would really compete with things like that. I don't want to feel uncomfortable anymore. And I just realized, even with like the fancy things that I did actually, you know, make the purchase with, they don't make they me don't that make happy.
They don't.
They can't comfort me if my bond can't be paid, right? And I think it's because you know, what's happening with me right now is that I'm very fulfilled with the things that money can't buy. I am fulfilled with my child. I am fulfilled with my partner. I don't feel that I have to fit in. I don't feel like I have to fit in.
Overcompensate,
right? And I think it's because I am so vulnerable that it's made me, so before, she would have. But I think I've gotten to a point where I'm just starting to become very comfortable with myself and I've realized that all these things, they just don't matter anymore.
Yeah.
And I also think it's because like now we're in an age of like hyper consumerism. It's actually making me a little sick.
I understand you.
The way it's making me so sick, it's actually turning me off of the things that I used to be turned on about.
Well, it's removed me. My social media consumption has decreased significantly because of that, because every and it's weird because we're in this industry, but every second video you watch is this is how much I spent. Buy this, buy that. And it's just so overwhelming. And you end up realizing, I think when you do a bit of self-reflection, is that you actually didn't
need that.
No,
you think you need it because you consumed content that made you feel like you need that, but you really didn't. And I love what you said, that as soon as you got comfortable with the things, got comfortable with you and be vulnerable with you, you get content and you don't have to play catch up.
I think we live in a season of instant gratification. I see it now. I want it now. I can have it now. It's deliverable. I can see it online. Things pop up. I can click buy. And so delayed gratification is going to be the savior of many people.
Discipline.
And it requires discipline.
Discipline. We need discipline. And look, I advocate for do nice things for yourself. Go on vacation. But sleep at night.
I mean, you want to enjoy those things.
You want
to
enjoy that. It shouldn't be just about the best enjoyment you'll get is, oh, wow, show me or a like on Instagram. You should actually really enjoy it. Noni, just to close, how can we avoid, firstly, what is lifestyle creep? And then how can we avoid it?
So when it comes to lifestyle creep and how can we avoid it, it's when we actually have changes in our lifestyle as a result of changes in our income. So we get a different income stream or we get a promotion at work and ndisebenzele, I deserve it.
New car, and so we
get more things. Whatever our gratification is. And so I think when it comes to avoiding it, it's actually saying, how do I actually make this money work for me? How do I make this change in my lifestyle work for me? Do I actually need this thing that I want to do as a result of having more money? I don't need a new car. My other car's working just fine. It's fully paid and it's working just fine. I also don't need a new house. And if safety is an issue, I may not actually need a new house. So it's also about saying. And look, I understand people want to have joy, nah, enjoyment, I get it. But I think it's about how do we actually use the increased abundant flows in our life to actually work for us,
yes,
as opposed to just looking at this lifestyle thing that's happening. And it takes a lot of self-assurance.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of times we're very outward-based.
Yeah.
And investing is inward.
It's very inward. Yeah,
because no one knows it.
You're not
discussing your investment portfolio, etc. We're all about unestico, undalo, kunile. You know, you're in a doubt now. There's a car, there's the this, there's the that. And those are all optical. And those are visual and easy to see and easy to quantify.
Sure.
To see what finances you supposedly have, right?
Supposedly. And I love that you say that.
Supposedly.
But can I just add to that?
Please.
I also think another thing is being very cognizant of also the people that you have around you.
That's it.
I mean, social media, people like to say it's not real. It is real. There's certain parts of it that is real. Because if you say it's not real, then you're saying that people are not making conscious decisions to put out there what they want to put out there. Whether it's curated or not, it's real.
Yeah, it's real. There's a realness in it. Yeah.
Yes. Someone has made a decision to do whatever they want to do. But for me, I work for social media, but I don't, that's not my friendship group. That's not my everyday.
Yeah.
When I live in my everyday, the people that are in it need to be people that, you know, promote abundance.
Mm. Yes.
And abundance is telling me, Katlego, Katli, you were complaining that you couldn't pour petrol. So now why? Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's having those real conversations and having those people who make you not feel insecure for making decisions like downscaling and so forth. And I think I'm also, as I said before, that's also a huge part in my contentment is that I have people around me who don't make me feel like I need to show up in a certain way.
Sure. Environment matters. I think what I've taken from you is who you surround yourself with matters. Being content with yourself matters and plays a huge role in your finances. And Noni, just to put together what you said in the beginning about budgeting and the lifestyle creep is that we need to tell our money where to go.
Absolutely.
So I think once you get that increase,
yes,
tell it where to go. And it should go to investing. Yes. It should go to your retirement.
We are all born CEOs of this money thing.
Because if it sits there, it will be used up somehow. Have you ever had 5,000 just vanish? And you don't know what you use it on. And then you look at it and you think, someone took money out of my account. Until you look and you're like, oh
that's where it went.
It's these 50 rands, these 100 rands, these 20 rands, these little monies that have been swiped, I've been swiping.
Yes.
Away. Yeah. All right. We're going to go to our wall of wisdom. I've switched up ours for today. But what is a financial rule? You're both going to answer this. What's a financial rule we should all live by? I'll start with you, Nani.
To live within my means.
Live within my means.
I was also going to say the same thing because I've seen what it means to live outside of your means. But, you know, take some time to ask questions. Give yourself the power. So the only way you can be empowered is by being informed, right? Sure. And then you can advocate for yourself. Biggest thing, right? Yeah. I always feel information, advocacy, empowerment, right? Yeah. And then another thing is don't be emotional about your spending.
Sure.
Yeah. Even if the emotion that you want is happiness, don't be emotional about your spending.
In the book that I'm reading currently, he was saying you should take a 24 before you make a purchase that you're not sure of. Take 24 hours off.
Absolutely.
Go home. Think about it. And then the next day think, do you really still want it? I think that has saved me. From a lot
That's
of
the last one, Abumi. I'm thinking that.
Take 24 hours and think about it. Mm. Okay. A book everyone should read. Doesn't necessarily have to be finance related. Or podcast.
Oh, this is a hard one.
Oh, okay. I have one.
Okay.
Diary of a CEO, the episode with Thierry Henry. I speak about this all the time.
Yeah.
I loved the perils that he shared. It takes a while for you to get into it because he's not a very Thierry Henry is not he speaks well. I really think he's well spoken, but he's quite like, you know, he's quite monotone. Mm-hmm. But there's one thing that I got from there that I keep with me in my mind the whole time. Mm. And he spoke about how, okay, there's two things. So the one thing is you've got to love pain. Mm. And oof. Yeah, you've got to love pain. And obviously he sees it from a place of an athlete, right? Yeah. I mean, for you to put in all those hours can be quite painful.
Yeah.
But I've seen it in different ways. Like if you want something really badly, you have to go through the pain. Yeah. Waiting, yeah,
do hard things,
you know, or working very hard towards it, right? Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is that you can feel an emotion, but don't become the emotion.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, so you can feel jealous, but don't become jealousy.
Yeah,
yeah, because it really changes your character.
Sure,
loved it.
That's so good.
Everyone must listen to it. Yeah,
I'll watch it. Thank you.
Now that I've had time to think about it, this is going to sound corny. There's a book that's called What Happened to You.
Yes.
And the reason why I say that is because it helps you connect the dots around why you are the way you are.
Yeah.
And so it helps you then reflect on, okay, this is my gunk. Mm. I need to take my gunk and I need to put it, you know, to bed and make peace with it and be a better person. So it's almost like, you know, Gabby says we're going to need more wine, the book, right? She's very honest, very authentic, right?
Yeah, it's hectic.
It's hectic. So this is just a much more PC version of saying, actually, there were things that happened that created you.
Yeah.
You now need to take accountability for becoming a better person and translate that into all areas of your life.
Yeah, we cannot move forward if we don't.
Yes.
Face the past. Yeah. Okay. You're gonna fill in the sentence. A wise woman once said,
You don't find authenticity, you awaken it.
Ooh.
It's always with you. Shefali.
Yeah, the conscious parent.
Mm. I love that you said
you don't find authenticity.
You awaken it. It's always already, with you. It's always with you.
So powerful. Loved it. So powerful. Yeah.
A wise woman once said, you have everything in you to make sure that you are fine.
You have everything in you to make sure
you have the intelligence. You have the resourcefulness.
Yeah.
You can ask people for help. You can go to a financial planner if you're in the red. Mm. You can go to the school department to ask for them to lower your school fees. Mm-hmm. Everything you have around asking for help is within you to make it happen.
Within you. You know what I loved about today, in as much as it was such a financial conversation, it had a lot to do with us, the inner, the vulnerability, the confronting of self, the what happened to us, the goals, the clarity, and the being content with who we are. And that is literally the psychology of money. So it's not just another thing, but like you said, you mentioned in the beginning, money is important.
Yes.
Whether we like it or not, whether we want to pretend, whether we want to demonize it, money is important to make sure that we live well. Thank you so much, ladies, and thank you to JSE. Do join us for the JSE She Invest event on the 17th of August and to continue this important conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh my-